This episode is dedicated to Benjamín Pérez Rodríguez.
Levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí, mira, no existen fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera, whoa.
Levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí, mira, no existen fronteras. No, no, oh. Y es que hay mucho sentimiento, lo grito al viento, de ser latino nunca me arrepiento.
And welcome to a very special edition of the Latin Babbler Show. I am your host, the Latin Babbler. I am joined with the crew. We have Cecilia from Around the Way Talk and from La Vida Poetry. And we have Paula Garcia from Paula Knows Something Podcast. Our guest today is a student advisor, content creator, host of Find Your Purpose and Latinx Greek Life Podcast. You can also see him on Be Real from Bellatina. And on social media, where he is empowering, educating, and guiding students on how to overcome adversities. Welcome to the show, Benjamín Pérez, a.k.a. Pérez the Advisor.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I've never been introduced this way. This is super cool.
All right, let's dive into what you do. So a lot of what you do in the area, it resonates with people, maybe because it's extremely relatable. So you take your content, you add humor to it. You add guidance through a lot of quotes, a lot of messages. You also do, through your podcast, a lot of the topics that you go through. So, and you showcase some huge topics. I mean, we're talking about first generation, being what it is to be first generation Latino, Latina. Is there, some discussions that I saw you with Yaribel Mercedes when you guys were doing the anti-blackness in the community. I was there for some of that. And then you talk a lot about masculinity, which, breaking the stereotypes. What made you decide that this was going to be the content that would be for you, that you wanted to talk about?
That's a great question, Rafael, because the page started essentially for education, right? Just for supporting students in higher ed, first generation students of color. But slowly and slowly last year, the momentum of the amount of folks who started following me and started really supporting me and building that larger community there. I've always had all this curiosity of things and questioning things and wanting to learn more aside from the norm, right? Challenging things that are, from the house to the culture, to the community, to things we see. And I was can I be that person to challenge things or to question things in the larger spectrum, right? Not just in my own life. So I'm like, can I bring these things of my personality, things that I think of on my social platform? Is this the right space? What is Pérez the Advisor for, right? So I was kind of nervous of bringing topics like that, right? Talking more about mental health. I'm like, I'm not an expert in the field. I'm not Afro-Latino, I am not all these things. They're not part of my identity. Is it okay for me to bring these things onto this, to the platform? And I started thinking I can bring folks and collaborate with folks who are experts in that, or who are identified like that. So we can bring awareness, right? So the pillars on my page are, empowerment and it's the awareness at the same time, the Latino community. And I'm like, I can bring some of these topics that I'm curious and I want to learn more about, but I also want my community to be aware of, right? So to inspire some of these changes that I feel like are important. So now in 2022, I'm like, for season 4, Find Your Purpose, I'm gonna do it. And if it bothers someone that are following me, no me importa, right? So this season 4 is definitely going to be bringing more topics of that, more intentional topics that I feel like I'm tired of not having them, and for those folks that are having them, some people are just like, no pasa nada. It's not my identity. I don't struggle with that, So, no, I want to talk about LGBTQ+, Afro-Latinos. I want to talk about indigenous. I want to talk about women, men, mental health, all these things.
Yeah.
So I'm shifting the page to becoming more of let's really talk about things, talk about the education and bring some of those things up. So it was just more of me just feeling comfortable and brave of I'm gonna do it. I want this page to be bringing awareness and empowerment for la comunidad and inspiring that change that we need as a community, that I need as a male, write things that I struggle. Same thing when I talk about my college experience, I talk about, like I mentioned, the pressures. So I mentioned the mental health, the not eating well, the going hungry, all these things, right? The pressures from family. Yes, there's a lot of pride, but there's a lot of pressure, which we can talk about.
Yeah.
And all these things, right? So I just like, I want this page to be authentic and real, right? So this 2022, I feel like that's where I'm headed, and I'm going to try to do that. If, like I said, if people stop, don't like what they see, pues no pasa nada, right? I'm still going to...
Well, that was our discussion back in October. You guys were asking me the question, you know, what do you feel about being apologetic with some of the things that we talk about here? And for me, it was very simple. Like, I really don't care. So if I'm gonna talk about these things regardless whether people want to do it or not. I'm going to post something. If I see my followers drop, then you know what? You weren't the audience for my show. That's just the way I see it. There's another three that are going to join in where the other three were lost, you know? And so for me, that's the approach that I've taken when we did that here at the Latin Babbler Show. And I saw that you were doing the same thing for season four. And I was like, oh man, he's hitting on some topics now. You know what I'm saying? Because
you definitely were one of those inspirations. No, like I heard you in that interview. I was like, all right. You know, I know the segment for Be Latina, I talk about it's be real, right? So I try to push the guests to be like, oh, Matt, ask them a question here and there so we can talk about real stuff and on top of their own story. Yeah. And when I heard you and I've heard different people, I'm like, you know what? Like, yeah. Well, I want to be that too, you know, because I am in legit. Like, eso lo que pasa por mi mente. It's not just me trying to be this person. Like, oh, look at this guy. I'm like, no, that's legit me. If people for my loved ones, if they listen, if you ask them, is Benjamin this and this? Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. You know, so for good or for bad, but I am. You know? So I try to be intentional, and there's a lot of things. Like I said, when talking about these topics, like you have to be very intentional. You have to be very cuidadoso how you say things. Like, and if you mess up, like with my conversation with Yari. She asked me some questions. I'm like, you know what? Like, yeah, it's me. She put me on the spot, but it was true. Like, hell, like, that's true. Like, that's for feedback. What someone reached out to me in the fall of 2021 asking Afro Latina, Colombiana, she was like, hey, like, I don't know her name, so I apologize. But she was like, hey, like, I love your content. I love your series. I love everything. But when are you going to bring more, like, Afro Latinos into the space? I was like, oh, snap. That is very, very true. I haven't done it. And I'm like, well, don't they stand, right? So I started really researching, and it wasn't because that was my excuse. But no, I don't have them. Like the circle that I follow, none of them are Afro Latinos, right? So then I was like, okay, so she sent me a couple names, a couple pages. I'm like, okay, well, let me do the research then. Every time I have a guest, I do research. So let me do research. Don't they stand, right? So I start researching more and more, and that's how Fania Ribel, Dr. Angel Jones, and I have a couple, Pavel, who I collaborated last week. And moving forward, I'm being more intentional now, like of the guests, of the topics, and of this page. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good year.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah. We all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit.
Don't
right
play
now.
With this
I gotta lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't
lie.
Play with it. Nah. Take that shit serious.
Yo, I got a question because you were talking about mental health. Do you ever get to the point where you're just like, because of how often you talk about mental health and a lot of the things that these students are going through? I know that we talk about it in our group on the Latin Babbler Show. We often wonder, what's it like for creators who talk about mental health? Do you wake up some days just sitting there going, you know what, I'm just not going to do this today. This is very mentally consuming, and I just need a break because it's not healthy for me to constant. Because I'm assuming you get a lot of DMs of people saying, hey, mental health, and this is what I'm going through. And my daughter, who's an influencer, she gets a lot of DMs from people who are talking about, hey, your things were inspirational. I was dealing through all this. You're almost like a therapist because you're like, you're an online creator. Do you ever get that sense where you're just like, okay, I need to take a break because some of this is affecting me, and then you go and seek like your own space to be able to kind of recover?
Yes. To answer your question, yes. It is tough though, you know, because we're so glued to the phone, right? Or I'm so glued to the phone, I speak for myself, and it's thinking of like, oh, I should create. I should write more quotes. I'm feeling inspired. I should feel this. I should do this. I should be on there replying to everybody, liking all the comments and like sharing all the stuff. And I'm like, man, when is it time for me to just put it away and disconnect? So there's days where it's like I'm better at it, and there's days where I'm not. But like I'm sleeping late, looking at things, thinking of like who's next or what's next or what do I do? How do I make this better? So it is tough. But I do have those days where I'm like, you know what? Like I'm just going to post one thing today because it is what, like, as I want to. And that's it. You know, I'm not going to share stuff. I'm just going to disconnect for a couple hours or disconnect for this whole day. And it's definitely needed because it's, like I said, I am just on there, but it is tough as a content creator. I don't have struggle on what to create. There's so many ideas that I have. I just struggle with at times in terms of mental health and everything, like how do I have that balance, you know, and that boundary too of putting that phone away, like, nope, I'm not gonna click on that app. I'm not gonna swipe up and like, you know, open the phone. I'm not gonna do it. I'll watch Enamorándonos on Univision if that's it, or I'll hang out with the family. But I am not gonna do this today. So it is it is tough though. It is tough to try to disconnect. But I mean, the messages like you mentioned are what keeps me going. Like honestly, the community there, I like to mention that it's a community, not my fault. It's the community that we have on social media, specifically on Instagram. It's like, it's wow. You know, I lose followers each day and I gain more followers each day, et cetera. But
yeah,
the messages, the DMs, the people, help what they share on the post. Any negative stuff, I don't really get negative, but any negative, I'll just block them and remove them. Like, I don't have time for that. But everything, like the amount of messages, like you mentioned, when they're sharing something, I'm like, wow, you know, like, this is awesome. You know, so it's tough to not feel. You know, like I feel when they're telling me things, I connect. I may not connect at times because it's not my experience, but it's really beautiful how an Instagram page can provide something powerful, no? And it comes with a lot of responsibility. Now I feel like, wow, like I have so many amount of followers or whatever. Like I have
he's all Spider-Man now.
Yeah, I'm quoting Uncle Ben. I'm quoting Uncle Ben, but it's definitely beautiful for sure.
So, among all of the work that you do for everyone else, I see that you continue to work on yourself. I recently saw the post that you put up about your PhD rejection, and I honestly found that to be very transparent and very honest and refreshing. How did that change the outlook of what you're currently doing and what you're looking to do?
Great question. Nice to meet you, Paula. So I'm going to take you back. No, let's go back to pandemic. Well, we are still in pandemic. But in 2020, when August 14 of 2020, I officially got my master's degree, even though I should have gotten it like years ago. I already, ya lo tenía terminado, but for whatever that one test I had to do, I hadn't done it. Life happened. So I finally did it. I got my degree. I always had the excuse. Oh, I can't leave this job. I can't leave California, the Bay Area, because I still have to complete that. I can't not do it. So many thousands of dollars that I'm in debt because of it. So I finally got that degree. Boom, my email from the professor. Con felicidades, has completado all the requirements. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, snap. Everything that was holding me back, like I can go anywhere now. So that August of 2020, pandemic obviously was going on. Well, you know, it was still on, but it slowed me down. I got the degree. Now I'm like, what's next for me? I thought PhD. Now I can do the PhD. It's perfect. Like, I'm not spending money. I'm not doing anything. I'm just here at home every day because of the pandemic. So I started like really searching PhD programs. I've always wanted, right? Let me speed up the process. During that time, sorry, in August of 2020, at the same time, I started the Find Your Purpose series because I wanted to be approachable for my students. I wanted to still be a resource for them in a different way. Like, I could just bring folks to come and talk about their story and college experience. And hopefully students can relate. An engineer, someone who did nursing, someone who went to community college. That was the first season, very education focused. And then PhD programs. And then, boom, 2021 starts. I slowly start getting rejection letters. And I'm, boom, this university. Oh, no. Boom, this one. I'm like, okay, I still have that one hope. But for me, the plan was, okay, I've been in the institution that I've been working for. It's going to be 5 years. I can start my PhD, tie a bow, and get goodbye. Boom, this is my turn. It's my turn to find essentially my purpose. And then I got rejection letters. Boom, nada. So that really crushed my experience. My hopes, my dreams. No, I'm like, I'm already like in my 30s. This was perfect. I would have graduated my PhD like almost at 40. Like, I'm already kind of late in the game compared to what people do their PhDs, no? So it didn't happen. But then, mira cómo funciona la vida, right? That door was closed. But then Perez y Gervais started picking up. I'm not saying Perez y Gervais is a PhD, but it definitely has giving me a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, a lot of network, and a lot of more development if I would have not done anything, right? So that started picking up. I started, like, collaborating with more folks. So then, like, aquí estamos, no? A year later after that, what I feel has really changed this page from an educational page of just college experience to something more of, like, comunidad and the Latino culture and a little bit of everything. It's essentially me. Like, I'm the center of this page. Perez y Gervais is me. So, like, I'm talking about my experiences, my students' experiences, my family's experiences, the mental health stuff or the machismo stuff that I talk about. That's my own personal point of view. It's my own thing. So what I feel like it's important in this page is to just be authentic and transparent, like you said, no, being transparent and just really sharing, like, these are my struggles. I'm not just posting, you know, hey, look, these are the beautiful things that I'm doing. These are all my accomplishments. Heck no, you can just go to LinkedIn for that, right? So I'm really sharing also my struggles, being transparent of what I'm dealing each day. Just like when Rafa asked me right now about mental health and social media, it is very true. You know, I'm still struggling with that. I know I mentioned it on social media, but I'm also struggling with it. So, I feel like that's what people have really connected with my page, because I'm no me como decimos in I don't know if this is Latin America, but me sin pelos en la lengua, right? Like, I just say how it is. This is what I've, like,
yeah.
This is who I am. Take it or leave it, and this is what I'm experiencing. There, I invite folks to join me in this journey of me unlearning some of these cycles, right? These traumas that are placed on us as me as a Latino male. Same thing with mental health. And I'm gonna be a father in a couple weeks, so you're probably gonna be seeing content creation. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Content creation of what it means to be a dad, no? and all these things. So it's like, I share my pieces of my life. I don't share my whole life, obviously, but I share pieces of my life, and hopefully people feel heard and feel seen. Oh wow, like, me too, you know. Because at the end of the day, you know, for a lot of us, when we experience life or education or being in a professional job or office setting, we've never seen anyone in our families do that. And I didn't see my parents experience a lot of things that I've experienced, right? Because their experience was different in this country, has been different in this country. So I'm just sharing out there, mira, esto es lo que yo estoy pasando. And these are the things that I hope that you can see that you're not alone in all this, like I said. So it's kind of very similar philosophy that I take with my students. And yeah, so the page, like I said, has definitely evolved. I have evolved throughout this 1 year after those rejections happened.
So you mentioned college life and your students. And with that being said, I see that you're a proponent of Greek life. What value do you feel that adds to a student's journey?
Oh, Greek life. Great question, because I'm a big advocate for Greek life, or just essentially students getting involved, finding a community on campus, I would say. I focus on Greek life because Greek life definitely gave me a lot of, it totally changed my experience. It changed my life, I could say. I mean, not to sound like that, but it definitely changed my life in for the good. I've always been this, or not necessarily before Greek life, I've always was like this person who un poco tímido, like a little shy, vocal for sure. When, you know, when the person as a male, whenever I was angry, whenever I was, you know, I was able to express those emotions, right? So, but very quiet. So in the classroom, you'll see me at the back of the classroom. Whenever I wanted to ask about something in class, I would kind of doubt myself, all the self-doubt, that's the first gen. So Greek life definitely helped me find confidence in myself. It gave me a voice, gave me a purpose. It gave me all these things. I always tell my students, the reason that I work as an advisor and I work with students in college is because of Greek life. As a Greek life member or getting involved on campus, president, I was able to collaborate, network, all these things, right? That a traditional classroom or class never gave me. So that's why I always mention Greek life, and on top of that, found a family away from home. As first gens, as Latinos, we experience homesickness when we move away from home because estamos así, you know, we're like this with our family. You take that away from us, we're not used to that. Like, we hardly even go to sleepovers with friends. Like, you've seen all the memes, right? You've seen all the reels. So, like, we don't do that porque es que mi mamá nunca, uno nunca sabe, right? You've seen the Cardi B. So, it is very true. Like, I never went to sleepovers with friends. I didn't even went to sixth grade camp because it was a whole week. I was like, my mom was like, ¿qué va a ser una semana? I'm like, I don't know. So, she didn't sign in. I didn't want to go and I didn't do it. So all these things, right? So, as a Latino, moving away from home, that was really challenging. So, Greek life definitely gave me that home, right? Is Greek life perfect? No, it's not. There's a lot of growth that needs to be happening in sororities and fraternities, which, you know, that if you listen to the podcast, you'll be able to start seeing some of those themes that I'll be kind of bringing up slowly with my guests. Again, 2022. Now I'm going to be the first season of my podcast was very like, tell me about the history of the organization. What made you join this organization? But now I will touch on those things, but also going to be touching on too. Why is there hazing? Why is there this? Why is there all these things? So kind of making those changes in Greek organizations. I'm always an advocate for it because these Greek organizations, specifically the Latino Greek organizations and the African-American Greek organizations, multicultural ones, have been because of a purpose, not because they didn't have a voice, an institution that was built not for them. Public white institutions, and here we are going to the institutions, not having the resources or the opportunities like, you know, our white colleagues and stuff. So these organizations were established for that, no? To find a home, to find representation. So the history component, impact and all that, like that's very powerful for me. And that's why I try to highlight in the podcast, and I try to highlight and advocate for that for my students in general, not in the community that follow me on social media. And like I said, so Greek life isn't perfect. There's a lot of stories and experiences that have been not the best, right? And I do acknowledge that because it's very true. That's why
it's the honesty.
Yeah. And I also want to be able to bring this space, like I said, to make those changes, to talk about those things, to keep the organizations accountable, keep the members accountable. Like, no, we have a Greek space here. Let's make that positive change. Let's actually develop, you know, la comunidad, our members, etc. So yeah, like I said, it changed my life. And I like to provide that space to share stories of the other Latinos or members who have joined Latino multicultural Greek organizations. Yeah, there was something else, pero se me fue.
Se le voló.
No, that's so good to hear. Thank you. That's such a positive thing. Traditionally, I don't think that we feel like those spaces are our spaces.
So, I mean, first of all, congratulations on soon. And I want to also give you a shout out for all the hard work that you do and having the bravery for actually touching on these topics that many people shy away from. But you also have another podcast, right? Find Your Purpose?
Yes, my Instagram.
Can you tell us a little bit?
The Instagram series, yes.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about what value that brings to your listeners and what topics you guys talk about on there?
No, yes, thank you, Cecilia. Well, Find Your Purpose, like I was mentioning in the beginning, like it's basically an Instagram series. I thought about making it a podcast. I was like, I should do it a podcast out of there, but I'm like, no, it's the same thing. No, I need to make it different. Lo tengo que ser diferente. So I've kept it as an Instagram series, and I think what brings value on here is because just like you have this space for narrative, not for storytelling, and for folks to share their purpose or their story and their passions is very similar to the space that I have now for that Find Your Purpose. But I want to focus on, I've always focused on the educational aspect of things, no, the college experience. Like I said in the beginning, for season one, that was the focus. But then season two, I started collaborating with folks that I didn't know. I started reaching out to people who are content creators to share their story and essentially their purpose and why they have their own space on social media. Season three was a little bit more of like mental health and like kind of flirting with like talking about masculinity here and there, etc. And I was like, no. And season four, like I said, has been more of like, you know what? This is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about all the things that no one really talks about. At least no one that looks like me is possibly talking about some of these things. So I'm like, no, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to talk about some of these things that are uncomfortable. And it is uncomfortable because it's challenging us. You know, it's challenging our biases and it's challenging the things that we've never really experienced.
It's making us think.
Yes, making us sweat. Pero that has evolved. And to find your purpose, it still has the heart of like storytelling. But now it's with a call to action. It's like, let's reflect. Let's think. I want you to reflect as a person. If this topic is about mental health, I want you to reflect, you know, and if it's about masculinity, if you're a male or you're female or whichever, if you're from the community, I want you to reflect. How are you upholding some of these anti-blackness or some of these masculinity cycles, some of these white privilege things or et cetera, right? So I'm still going to have guests still share about their stories, or like experiences, but talking about a specific topic. Like this Friday, I'm going to be talking to Abad about Afro-Mexicanos, which I never learned in college about. You know, I majored in Spanish. I did a post recently before I jumped onto the call with you all, and I talked about how I majored in Spanish and master's in Spanish, and I did Chicano studies as a minor and Latin American studies as a minor, and no class was about Afro-Latinos. No one ever told me about Afro-Mexicanos. No one ever mentioned anything. I might have just read a poem about Nicolás Guillén, the Cuban poet, and that's pretty much it. I'm like, how is this? I feel like I was cheated. I'm supposed to be here, you know, learning history and language and all these things. And there's a huge gap of people that were silenced, that have been silenced, that I didn't get to read or learn about. So I'm like, this space now is trying to fill in those pieces that I missed and that I want my community. Like, is my community aware of these things? What is Univision Telemundo not teaching our community? You know, it's teaching them something else. I want my Find Your Purpose segments to be able to like bring these things that we don't hear about, to bring these things that my parents aren't aware of, you know, things that la comunidad, my family are not, they don't talk about, because again, it might not be our experience. We might not see it on TV. It's not happening to a family member, but we just don't know, right? So I want this, those Instagram series have been what would say one of the most beautiful things of this whole content creation thing. So at least I would like to think. And what I'm thinking for the future for this Instagram series, ever since I got 10,000 community followers or followers, something called badges were open. I don't know if everyone has them now, but I don't know if it's a thing now for everybody. But when I got to the 10K, I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, now I can do all these things. So my goal one day, I always have the badges on there whenever I have an Instagram live on, because if anyone feels compelled to, you know, buy a badge or whatever, whenever I feel like I have enough or a good momentum of badges from the community members who donate, then I want to have like a scholarship, you know, be able to give a scholarship this Instagram. So it'll be Find Your Purpose Scholarship. You know, I wear this shirt just for you guys. So it's the logo of it. So I'm like, yeah, that would be pretty sick. A way to give back. The badge is not for me. Like, this money's not for me. I want to create this and have something for students or for dreamers or for, you know, some students from the Latino community. So it's slowly, like I said, becoming something much bigger for sure than just me. So and then just the college experience, it's becoming more of like algo for la comunidad, whether you went to college or not, or whether you're 45, 25, etc. It should be hopefully something for you as well.
That'd be awesome. I can't wait till I see like the Benjamin Perez grant. I'll be like, I remember when we talked about that. That'd be pretty awesome, right?
Imagínate.
And I see that you went to San Jose State. And I had a few friends that graduated from San Jose State. And I know they would have appreciated to have a mentor or a guidance counselor like you. Do you think that you are the guidance counselor you wish you would have had, or did you have one that helped you along the way?
Never had one. I like to say that, you know, we as first-gen students, or I as a first-gen student, Latino student, my college experience was like, you know, going into like a corn maze. You know, you just don't know where you're going. It's dark. You have a flashlight, so you might bump into elotes and stuff. I don't know. Just to continue with the metaphor.
That's not a bad thing.
Like eating elotes.
Yeah, I'm thinking, no. Yeah, I could bump into that.
No, but it's like a labyrinth, right? So we don't know laberinto, no, we don't know where we're going at times, and we don't have someone to either hold our hand or guide us, right? So I missed a lot of opportunities. I like to say my college experience was amazing. I learned a lot. I met great people, but I also missed a lot of opportunities. Studying abroad, being part of something called EOP or retention programs. I luckily got into Greek life, right? I was always against this. So I was like, I was never the type of student who was involved in anything because, again, I was really shy. So here I am, you know, that really was the thing. But other than that, like, I didn't know. I missed a lot of opportunities. So I'm trying to be the mentor, the advisor that I did never had, you know? Like, I wish someone would have told me, ¿sabes qué? You're messing up. ¿Sabes qué? This is great. You know what? Take a break. Hey, it's okay to take a semester off, you know? Or if you're going through stuff because someone, family member passed away or something, you know, you're there like, having to hold all these emotions of trying to go back home and do your exam or else the professor's going to fail you. What do? You sacrifice that or you do this. So all these things that sometimes no one told us, no, it's okay. Go take that test. You send that email to the professor. You have every right to take a break because of your mental health state. All these things, like no one ever told me. So I sacrificed mental health, sacrificed family things, sacrificed a lot of these things because, again, I didn't know what were my rights. I was just getting in that because the goal was, like the question that Rafa asked me in the beginning, of getting that degree, that was the focus. Regardless of anything else, I had to do that. So now I'm telling my students, yo, you don't have to graduate in 4 years. You graduate in four or five years, no pasa nada. You don't got to take out all that whole loan. Tell me why. So I always tell my students, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I am not going to hold your hand either. This is your life. This is your experience. I'm gonna ask you why. ¿Por qué? Oh, I want to major in this. Why? Oh, I want to take 18 units. Okay, cool. Why? Mm-hmm. You know, so just tell me your why. Again, your reason. Okay, cool. You want to hear my opinion? No? Yes? Okay, cool. I'll tell you or no. I'll respect it. But I tell my students, regardless of the decision that you make for your future, et cetera, like for in terms of education, and it can go into personal as well. Just know that on the other side of that decision, I'll be there. You know, I got you. So if you fall, you may fall and scrape yourself. I'm going to help you come back up. Don't feel you're not alone. You know, no está solo.
That's awesome.
When a lot of the things, when I experienced, right, when I was on academic probation or when I got financial probation or whenever I got this and this and that, no one was on the other side of that decision or that experience, right? So I had to internalize all that and remember coming back home whenever your parents would ask you, ¿cómo te va la universidad? Them putting you on this pedestal that you are the example to follow for all the next generation and all the other little cousins and friend cousins and all that. Oh, mira, Benjamin, he's doing all these things. I'm like, damn, no, I'm not. You know, I'm over here struggling, trying to survive.
Doing
so,
the same thing.
So yeah, that's I try to be that advisor for my students to tell them that, you know, I got you, essentially. Awesome. I always tell them, I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to teach you once. But then tú lo vas a hacer because I want you to be able to, you know, drive essentially your own journey. I'm just riding with you on the passenger
seat.
I must say
your students are very lucky to have you there.
Yeah, for real.
Thank you.
We don't all have that. We're all kind of stumbling alone in the dark with you.
Yeah. I know some students trust me. They're like, como enfada. But I'm like, no. I'd rather you be annoyed of me, but don't ghost me. I always tell my students, I ask for you for two things. Don't stay quiet and don't be shy to ask me for support. Call me, text me, send me a DM, an email, whatever. Just let me know. And then second thing, don't ghost me. That's like, if you don't want my support, just tell me. No pasa nada, you know?
Right.
If you need a break of 2A, can you reach out to me in 3 months? Great. I'll give you your space.
They had a Benjamin Phil. That's it. They were capped out. That's it. No more.
Guy keeps texting us.
We need a Perez filter. No, it's actually funny that, you know, we talked about it before, how you're becoming a dad. And it's kind of funny that this is her question, because I feel the same way from my side, not from a counselor's perspective, but from like a dad's perspective. Because see, I grew up with a single mom. You know what I'm saying? Like she was basically just being all of the different things. So I, for myself, never grew up with all the examples you would normally get from like a father figure or this and that. You know, regardless of how many, you know, stepdads we've encountered, we don't really kind of develop that relationship, so to speak. Or at least I never did. There are some people who are fortunate too. So for me, it's extremely important that what you do, you're doing it even at the level just as an advisor. Because for some people, this is about as close to kind of a dad as they're going to get, which is extremely important. A lot of people don't get that. You know, you get a lot of students who grew up in the same type of household I did. And so when we talk about that mentor question, when we talk about that counselor question, you know, the person who's dabbing in to sit there and say, hey, this isn't the right way, you know, based on my opinions of what you're doing. Because look, there's a lot of people who go to degrees that just don't amount to anything. Like, because they feel like these degrees are what I can do, but at the end of the tunnel, those degrees don't really pay because there's not a lot of jobs for those degrees and things like that. And at the end of the, you know, the end of the term, they have all these huge student loans and they don't have the opportunity to show for it to be able to pay them back or to at least reduce that. So, you know, as far as like the college pitfalls and things like that, or even the high school ones, it's just important to have someone like you in their lives to be able to do that. So I commend you, man, because it's going to take you now into this journey, because we were talking about, are you going to be a dad? Are you? I'm a dad. I got three kids, had the time of raising them on my own. What do you think are you ready for? And what do you think you're the most afraid of?
You see, like, I mean, first off, thank you. You know, thank you for your words. It is very, you know, unique in the position that I am, because when I look at advisors in education, higher education, or even the organization that I work for, there's very limited amount of, when we talk about males, very little bit of males who do this work. So working with students of color, you know, our black students, our Latino students, our male black and Latino students are the ones who have the lowest graduation rates in college, so the largest dropout rates. So having more males be there, it's very important, because we're doing a lot of studying and a lot of learning and trying to get our students' perspectives of, is our students are struggling in college not because of they are bad students. There's more to it, you know? There's more, is it the institution? It's also like a family thing. Is it like family pressures? What's going on with what's happening to them, right? That that's causing some of these things. So just to cut it short, but to be a male advisor is a big privilege, you know, and a huge responsibility. And like I said, just like for the same thing for the page, I'm trying to continue evolving to support and help their students, those students, and all students, right? But specifically those students, because my experience as a student, it's not the same as theirs, you know? And even if we speak the same language and when we look alike, still not the same, right? So as a father, you see that the way that the world works. I got rejected for PhD programs and the Perez de Arvaz started to pick up. And when I really started learning and reflecting on mental health, on my own biases, on my own traumas, I had already kind of done some of that work in the past, but not fully really reflect on it every day, because I see the content and I'm writing it and I'm sharing it, and my own doubts and my own experiences. And as a male, right, with machismo and all that, if you get the como sen, like some of these things that I'm applying to my life, it's not just me saying, I'm actually doing them. Like the other day, like with our family, right, we're talking about something and I got so irritated. Back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have just lashed. Boom. Wouldn't have been like a dickhead. But now it's like, you know what? Let me breathe in. Let me breathe in. Let me have that patience. Let me approach this a little bit different, you know? So it's just...
Yeah.
It has really helped me. And I always tell people social media has really helped me grow, which is crazy to say. Like social media could be all these things. And as now that I'm going to be a father, all these things that I'm learning, you know, following Leslie from Latinx Parenting and all these different pages who talk about these things, I'm going to be a father of a baby girl. So as a male, like, I gotta be a good man, no, to continue working to be a good man, so I can be a great father and empower this little girl to be everything that I couldn't be, right? So everything that my mom, and like, we have really powerful women in our families, but there was always been machismo that kind of brings that down, right? So here I'm still trying to unlearn a lot of things, and I will make mistakes, right? So it's funny how these things work, because here we are now, and I'm trying to do that work to do that. So like, so I'm very, very excited, super I mean, like I said, in a couple of weeks, like, we're already on month 9 essentially we started. So like,
it's anytime soon.
Yeah,
I need the invitation to when the birth is taking place. No, I'm just kidding. I'm only kidding. That would be weird. I'll be your wife is sitting there like, what are you doing here? He invited me.
It's a babbler.
It's like, we're here at a special event with Benjamin Perez, and he's having a baby. It'll be advertised like a news cycle. So Benjamin, if people wanted to follow your content or the podcast, where would they go?
They could definitely follow me, Perez Advisor. Right there, I'm on TikTok. On TikTok, you'd be able to find a little bit more like the funny stuff, you know, just me arguing with my mom or me, like, you know, experiencing certain things. So that's the funny stuff. It's a little bit of everything. It's just my personality. On Twitter, you may see some stuff when I post some quotes here and there. But on Instagram, I will say it's the heart of my work. You'll see the funny stuff here and there at times, but you also see like more of like my own personal things that I share. The quotes, the Instagram series, and all the beautiful collaborations of the comunidad that we're part of. And then the podcast, you can still see some parts of it there, but essentially the podcast, Latinx Greek Life, you can find it on all the podcast platforms, that are out there. I don't know I'm sure there's a lot out there, but the most popular ones, you can find it out there. But yes, Perez Advisor, is essentially on Instagram. It's like the heart of the work.
Very cool, Benjamin. Thank you for joining us, man. This was a great conversation.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, all three of you, for inviting me and for sharing me on my story. You know, every time I get the opportunity to share my story, it's one of the hardest things, but it's one of the most beautiful things, because I get to share or reflect on things that I don't really do. You know, like, I'm always on the other side asking the questions. I'm like, you know, like, tell me about the time and this and that. But now it's like being able to just do that on my own and with you all, like, it's beautiful. So thank you for being in community with me. And I promise I'll follow you. I'll follow you back on Instagram.
I'm going to be watching. I was like, man, he has no idea what's going on in my life. This man does not follow me. He sees the show. I was salty. I was going to say something, you know. No, I'm just kidding. No, but honestly, thank you. Thank you once again for joining the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for today. You can listen to us on Neighborhood Radio on Radio 89 on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and on all popular apps. Follow us on social media at Latin Babbler Show and visit our website, www.latinbabbler.com. Brand new. We just put it up. We just fixed it up. And I'm the Latin Babbler, along with Cecilia, along with Paula, I call her Paul, along with Paula and Benjamin. We are out.
Desde Nicaragua hasta Costa Rica, con esta canción todo mundo se identifica. Llamen a los chilenos y a los cubanos, llamen a Puerto Rico y a los mexicanos, que ya se armó la rumba. Desde Panamá hasta Ecuador, vámonos a Perú y luego hasta Salvador. Que se escuche en Brasil y Argentina. Yo quiero un grito de mi gente latina y levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera. Porque para mí mira noches en fronteras. Levantaré mi bandera.